All right. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Go. Let's go quickly. This will be very short. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. I'm going to read the last few verses there to the end of the scripture. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, to you will I give it, and to your seed forever. And I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall your seed also be numbered. Arise and walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto you. Then in verse 18, I love this very much. The Bible says, then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwell in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and he built there an altar to the Lord. On Friday night, I ministered to you, to us all very briefly. I said very briefly, it was for over an hour, but that was very brief. And it was about covenant. We ministered about covenant. And the Lord had said to me at some point, I just want you to listen to this real close. He had said to me at some point, and I have seen this to be true over the years. This word has panned out to be so. The Lord said to me, your covenant with God is your most precious, most prestigious possession on this earth. That's what he said. Your covenant with God is your most precious, most prestigious possession on this earth. And I have seen that born out, actually. I have seen that covenant produce in the driest places of life. I have seen that covenant produce when all hope seemed to be lost. I've seen that covenant produce abundance in a dry place. I've seen that covenant produce restoration, healing. Oh God, how many miracles have I seen with my two eyes since the inception of this vision? Miracles of life. I mean miracles of life. Dead raised, sick healed, blind eyes opened, restored lives, restored families, mental health problems broken and destroyed. I mean, I could go on and on and on forever. And it was all because of the covenant. God comes on the scene when you are in close covenant relationship with him. God always is on the scene. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 43, when he said, no matter, you may go through the rivers, I'll be there. You go through the flood, they will not overwhelm you. And the covenant assures that God will always be with you. My friends, whatever you do, I have learned in more than 30 years of having God as my employer. He's been my employer now for 30 straight years. I have learned his covenant always produces. He has never failed one time. He has never not been there. So on Friday, just this past Friday, I told you these seven things about the covenant. Listen to it. The covenant is the strongest thing in the entire universe, and it will never fail. God said, my covenant will I not break, Psalm 89 verse 34. Neither alter the words that have gone out of my mouth. When God makes a covenant with you, you are set for life. Amen. The covenant number two will make a major difference in your life in a very short period of time. In 20 short years, Jacob came. He said, you remember when I came out of my father's house, all I had was a staff. You remember when he was in that place where he made this covenant with God in Genesis 28, the Bible says he did not even have a pillow. All he had for a pillow was a stone. He put his head on a pillow, on a stone. That was his pillow. He had nothing. But think about it. When he came out in Genesis 31, after 20, just 20 short years, the Bible says he was exceedingly wealthy. He was exceedingly rich. But in addition to that, God had enlarged. When he left his father's house, he left alone. But when he arrived, when he was leaving from Laban's house, he said, we are now two companies, two mighty armies. The covenant will enrich you. In a short period of time, it will make a major difference in your life. Number three, the covenant will distinguish you and guarantee your favored outcome in the high and low places of life. My friends, when you go through trials and tribulations, when you go through difficulties, times of need and times of lack, and every human will go through times like that, times when prayer doesn't seem to be working, times when health seems to be failing, times when things are not happening like you think they should, my friends, your covenant with God is what will secure your future. That covenant will distinguish you and guarantee your favored outcome in the high and in the low places of life. Number four, the covenant will cover every area of your life. I found out the covenant will cover your health. Your covenant will cover your longevity. The covenant will take care of your adversaries and your enemies. The covenant will shut the mouths of the enemy and demonic spirits that are trying to unload evil around your life. The covenant will cover every area of your life. The covenant will send the ravens to feed you when you don't have any more money. The covenant will cause water to come out of the rock when you can't find water anywhere. The covenant will cover, my friends, the covenant will cover every area of your life. It will cover every area. The covenant will open the Red Sea. When Pharaoh is staring you in the face and you don't know where to go and you are in between the rock and the hard place, the covenant will open that Red Sea. It will cover every area of your life, my friends. Number five, God takes his covenant with you personally, and he will continue to do so with you and with your children and your generations even after you are gone from this earth. The covenant will. The covenant will. Number six, the covenant is based on trust. That's why the Bible says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. He will never see dryness. He will never know dryness. Hallelujah. That's Jeremiah 17. That's where I actually preached from on Wednesday. That was a very deep message. I couldn't even scratch the surface, but it was deep. I wish I had more time and more grace to do it. And finally, number seven, the covenant keeps you in lockstep with God and will sometimes lead you through unconventional and unpopular paths to get you to the destiny that he has prepared for you. The covenant is powerful. The covenant is powerful. All right, I'm scratching just a little bit of the surface of what something that is closely connected to covenant today, and it's called vision. In that scripture, God said to Abraham, the Bible says, he said to him, lift up now your eyes in Genesis 13:14. The Lord said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. My friends, I found out vision is the greatest gift that God has given to man to be able to move from wherever they are to where they want to go. Vision is the greatest gift that God has given to man. It's not money. I found that out. It's not money. It's not money. Listen to me. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you what I know. It is not money. Vision is the greatest gift God has given to man to help them get from wherever they are to wherever they want to go, where he has prepared for them. It's not money. The world is You know, everybody is so confused about this. Everybody thinks, if I just have money, it's not money. It's not money. You can, look, you can give people money every day of their lives, keep giving them money every day of their, it does not mean their lives will be better. It does not mean their lives will be better. It's not money, it's vision. And have you noticed, where the covenant is concerned, God always begins from vision. And I want to tell you something that is very deep about vision. Vision will keep you young. Vision will keep you very young. People get old very quickly. One of the reasons for that is a lack of vision. Do you understand what I'm saying? Moses was 80 years old. Do you know what people do when they are 80? Yes, right. They are retired a long time before they are 80. 10, 15 years. Or if you go to some of our nations in Africa, by the time they are like 50, everybody is calling them Baba, Mama. You know, that they're like in one village, every day people come and greet them and do obeisance. They can't carry their bag. They can't carry their Bible. If they want to wear shoes, they will sit down and stretch. Their bones will be cracking. Somebody has to put shoes on their legs. See, you wonder why people die that quickly? Because they got old in their minds. And the reason they got old is because they lack vision. Vision will keep you young. Think about what we're about to do. We're about to launch the next 20 years of Abundant Life. And this next 20 years is going to be greater than the first. The Lord is going to help us do more. All across the United States and all across the world. I'm already seeing it. I told you on Friday, right? 2 days, this happened last week. Pastor Stella, I don't know if she made it. She's in Ghana. She coordinates our African missions. I don't know if she made it today because she has her own things she does. You know, Sunday, this is Sunday. But she will tell you this. This happened just last week. 2 days, earlier in the week, the Lord told me, one of the things I want you to do in over this next 20 years, I want you to expand your African and Asian mission. And in Asia, he said, I want you to use your platform, which you already have in India, use that as a springboard to touch other Asian nations. He said that at the beginning of the week. So, all right, I wrote it down. And, you know, Pastor Tinu will tell you all those visions and all those things where she did so much work. Unfortunately, technology didn't work. So she, you know, but thank you for doing all that work. But I sent her all those things the Lord gave me so that she can be specific and concise where the future is concerned. And she'll tell you this was in it. Specifically, he said, especially Africa and Asia. Now listen to this. 2 days after that, 2 days. Somebody say 2 days. 2 days after that, here comes this request from Pakistan, from a pastor. He sent us an email. He says, I want to be your coordinator in Pakistan. I don't know this person. Never met this person. I don't even till now, we're trying to find out. So I said to Pastor Stella, she will confirm that. Immediately I said to her, I said, check with Brother Ashish, who's our India coordinator, India missions coordinator. I said, check, because he's all over the place. I think he knows the whole world. So I'm very wary of that man. So I said, he's probably the one. He knows, maybe he connected this man in Pakistan and then told the man to send our office a request so he can work with us in Pakistan. I said, that's probably what this is. I said, Pastor Stella, you know, reach out to Ashish and check that. And she reached out to him, and Brother Ashish sent back to her, he doesn't know him. He has never met him. Now let me ask you, what are the chances? 2 days before, the Lord said, I want you to expand your operations in Asia, India and Pakistan and other Asian countries. And 2 days later, here comes a request out of the blue from Pakistan. That is not ordinary. Vision will keep you alive. Vision will keep you young. At 80, God said, I want you to go and deliver my people. That means God was guaranteeing Moses will live at least 40 more years. Because a generation is 40 years. When he said, God deliver my people, he was guaranteeing. And the Bible says when Moses died at 120, his eyes were not dim. He was strong like he was. You remember Caleb? I might read that just before I close in just a couple of minutes here. Caleb said in Joshua chapter 14, he says, as my strength was 40 years ago, now he's 85, he's an 85 years old man. As my strength was 40 years ago, so it is today. He says, so give me this mountain. An 85-year-old man is still asking for a mountain. That's vision. That's vision. Vision will keep you alive. Vision will keep you young. Vision will renew your youth like the eagles. Why? Because that means there is work for you to do. God says, I want you to reach more nations. Listen to me, Abundant Life. We're not packing up. We're at an inflection point. But it's an inflection point to a greater assignment. Hallelujah. In this inflection point, as you can see, I know many of you know this. I don't have to introduce myself to you. 20 years, that's good time to know somebody. At least you know a few things about them. You know I'm very intense. I'm sometimes way too intense. And I know that rubs people off the wrong way. I know that. I know many times that gives people the wrong idea, the wrong impression. I'm very intense. I'm very intense with everything I do. But let me tell you, I'm not trying to make excuses, but I didn't make myself like that. My journey added a lot, substantially, to my intensity. Because how do you tell a 22-year-old man to leave everything he knows, family, friends, everybody, having graduated, did bachelor's, did master's, was on his way back to the United Kingdom to leave, and you say, I want you to go and become a missionary for me in a place where you know nobody. I still have images in my mind of days of walking, weeks of walking through the streets of Kaduna. That was my full-time job. Walking through the streets of northern Nigeria. This is not a part of Nigeria where it's nice and easy is good. This is, you know, no. This is northern. This was. And I can tell you, I'll never forget some of the places we went. I'll never forget this particular Alhaji. We were, you know, during this, when people went to work and sat behind their computers, we carried the Bible and wore our shoes and whatever it suits and walk office to office. And I'll never forget this man, this Alhaji. One image that has never left my mind. When I entered into his office and I started to try to minister to him, he said to me, why don't you go and get a job? He said, why don't you get some education? Listen to me. A year before, I had just finished a master's degree with distinction, with an immediate invitation from Guelph University in Canada to come and do a PhD. Here I was, no money, no friends, no. So, you know, my intensity, I didn't create it. Now, I'm just telling you. There are some things you go through in life that shape you. They shape you. When after a whole day or days, I'm talking weeks, after a whole day of walking the streets and preaching the gospel, at night, I will sleep on my flat mattress, staring at the ceiling, no friends, no money. Nothing. Sometimes asking myself, Lord, what am I doing here? He sent me there. But that shaped me. He shaped me so you know, where did I have the time to party? There's no party. There's no mixing with people. That's part of why in this season, you know, as I start transitioning, I'm learning to relax more. No, seriously, I'm learning to try to enjoy life more. No, seriously. I'm learning to do things that normal people do. No, seriously. I'm listening to a lot more music now. Yeah, mostly gospel. Yeah, she's trying to cover my back. They are mostly gospel maybe, but there are some very nice, things are going to get better. What, somebody sang this song, they played it, such a beautiful song. It's not gospel. It's not gospel. It's not, don't worry. Don't reveal, don't show us your secret. Don't expose yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, seriously, I'm learning now. I'm learning to relax more. Seriously, I'm learning to do things that normal people do. My children will tell you, I've been an intense person all my life. My wife knows me better than she knows that. Right? You know, but I didn't shape myself like that. You know, when I turn people off and rub people off the wrong way, it's not that I want to. I'm just so intense. I'll never forget, after we planted the church in Fairfax Elementary School several years ago, in 2002, maybe 1 or 2 weeks after that, I will never forget this experience. We were coming, you know, we're running, the service was 11. It's a new church, you know, just a few of us trying to, you know, in the school, there was nothing. We always had to carry equipment, carry and set up and everything. And we had this lovely family, beautiful family. And this gentleman, I really love him. He's in Nigeria now. He had to move to Nigeria. But he was one of our ushers. And it was almost 11 already. And back then, everything was like this. Like for me, it was excellent. You just got to be there quickly. I don't handle lateness. I don't deal with that. You be there. I mean, if you can be there by 11:30, you can be there by 11. That's the way I've always thought about it. So make everything happen to be there by 11. So especially if you are serving, you are a musician, you are an usher, tell all these people that work with me, serve with me at the beginning, they'll tell you that. Part of my withdrawing so that I can be more a normal person is I don't get into some of the things that, like, I don't go to praise team meetings, I don't do all those, because, you know, many of the things that happen in the day, they'll tell you, I can't stand lateness. I can't stand it. If you are supposed to be there 10:30 for rehearsal, then here you are dragging yourself in with your bag by 10:45. I'm like, come on. We're trying to do the work of the Lord here. Right? That's the way I was. That was the way I was shaped. That's the way I was formed. I didn't try to be that way. Hallelujah. But so I remember this gentleman as he was coming, you know, he came late. Unfortunately, he had an illness. He had an illness that, he had some illness. So he was slower. He couldn't really be there on time. But I caught fire. I saw him coming in like 5 minutes. I caught fire. So why are you? I said, look at the time. So mind you, he's an usher in the church. He's helping us. But I was just so upset that he's coming. And I think I may have talked to him before that. And said, look, make sure you are early. But he had that illness, so he couldn't be there early. But when I saw him coming in late, I was just so upset. And I think I met him at the door and said, listen, if you are late, you know, we're supposed to be getting ready for people so we can serve people so that when they come everywhere, everything is ready. And he was just so broken by what I said. And unfortunately, that family, our ushering ministry, it was all of them were in one family. Do you want me to reveal to you what happened the following Sunday? Can I tell you? You already have a revelation, or do you need me to tell you what happened the following Sunday? The following Sunday, I had no usher. The news spread. It was only one person. I only had this experience with one person, but the whole ushering ministry was one family. So the one person was so upset, so broken. He told one, the other one told the other. But by the time I showed up the following day, okay, so you are upset because I did come by 10:30. You will see today. You will be your own usher. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. But vision will keep you young. So yes, I know that you may even have had some bad experiences with me. You know, there may even be people who will hold something against me, not necessarily, you know, just maybe because of something I may have said or without thinking about it, something I may have done, and you know, it's possible. But you know, give me grace. Amen. Every pastor deserves grace. Especially a pastor like me, right? I just need a lot more grace. So be patient with me as I have been patient with you. Hallelujah. Because many of the people I have shepherded, you know, as a shepherd, I've had to clean people's pens. I've had to clean up after people. As a pastor, I've had people walk to me from the street and tell me some of the things that people in my church were doing, some of my leaders were doing, which was upsetting them, and I've had to protect them. And I've had to get with those leaders and say, somebody walked to me to report this. You know, this is not really a good look. Can you address that? I'm sorry, Pastor, I'll go take care of that. And they go take, I mean, over the years, you do that. You do that. You learn to put up with people. Amen? And, you know, especially if you are doing it with your heart, sometimes it can wear on you. So put up with us. And I won't always, you know, I know I'm at an inflection point. I won't always pastor. Actually, I'm pastoring less and less as we go forward. Because I know my calling is to take the gospel to the world. And I haven't even started. We've started virtually. We've started in some ways, sown some seeds. But I mean, I'm actually going to personally take the gospel to the world. And minister to pastors and help missionaries and help create humanitarian support for different groups of people. We're doing that now, but I'm actually going to do it myself. And you can't do both. You can't be in church every Sunday and do that. I can't go to Pakistan and spend 2 days and quickly rush back. No, it's not going to work. So I know even I am at an inflection point. Just be patient with us. Vision will keep you young. Vision will help you go. God said to Abraham, lift up your eyes. Let me try to close this up. Listen, one of the major ways God enables his human covenant partners to rise above the limits and the restrictions of their human existence so that they can experience some of his divinity is by giving them dreams and visions. The dreams and the visions that the Holy Spirit gives you will break open your imagination so you can rise to God's level and do the impossible. All of us are trapped in this human rat race. And as long as your focus is around you, if all you are focusing on is how to pay the light bill and how to pay the gas bill and how to make sure that the children are taken care of and how to, all of these things are very good. But you cannot live in that zone all the time. You have to have a vision that transcends wherever you are right now. Because that vision is what is going to propel you to the level of divinity that God has for you. Are you listening to me? You can't go anywhere higher if all you are focusing on is how to pay your gas bill. You've got to have a vision that transcends. That's why when God came to Abraham, Abraham was having an emotional experience. Lot had just left. Lot was his little nephew that he brought out of Haran with him to help him. Lot was his little nephew who he had gone to fight wars for him. Lot was his little nephew he had done all these things for. And now Lot is very rich. And now they can't live in the same place together. And he says to Lot, Lot, look, let's not fight. We're brothers. You pick a place and I'll pick the other. And Lot moves without even deferring to him to say, hey, uncle, no, you choose first. So Abraham is broken. Lot is gone, but Abraham is broken. He's stranded where he is. And God came to him. And God said, Abraham, lift up your eyes.
Stop looking at Lot. Stop looking at Egypt. Stop looking at all that deadness. Do what? Lift up your eyes. That's vision. Get a vision for something higher. Amen. Listen to me, people of God, online or in this little room here. Your vision will take you beyond the limits of the human experience. When you catch a vision, you are ready to experience the supernatural. God can never get behind someone who does not have a vision. He can't. But a vision will propel you. Because a vision, listen, you may have sickness in your body, dealing with all sorts of symptoms. When you catch a vision of yourself, healthy, well, carrying your children, playing with your family, and immediately, God will get in your situation and miracle will happen. Miracle will happen. One time, Abraham said, he said to God, God, who are you going to give me? Who are you going to give me? You mean using my servant is going to inherit all these things in my house? All these things I've worked with? See, he's buried. His eyes, all he can see every day as Eliezer goes in and out of the house of the tent, he's watching Eliezer. He's watching all of Eliezer's children. He's watching all of their wives. He's watching all of these different, and he's buried in there. All he can think about is, I'll never. And God said to him, Abraham, come out. Come out, follow me. Let's take a walk. Let's take a walk. And where did he take him? He took him outside. He says, Abraham, lift up your eyes, count the stars. Abraham started counting. 1, 2, 3. God said, that's how your children will be. He pulled him out. Abraham would have died broke and barren. God gave him a vision for his own generations. It changed his life forever. Vision will change your life. Vision will radically elevate you. It will transform you from wherever you are. Suddenly, you will get a brand new pep in your step. You get brand new energy. Listen, close your eyes for just 1 minute. Wherever you are, close your eyes for just 1 minute. You've been buried in those negative images for too long. Carrying all these burdens and all these yokes of what people have done to you, what people said to you, you would never do this, all the problems you have dealt with have now become the definition of your life. You have given up your inheritance to a great future. You have given it up to trials and tribulations. You are buried in your problems. I want you to lift up your eyes wherever you are. Get a new vision. Get a vision. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. The Lord is telling me right here, right now, some of you, you are so comfortable where you are and where you have been for so long that you can't go higher. And the reason you can't go higher is because you don't have a vision for higher. You have settled in a comfort zone. You like your life. And the Lord is saying to you, I have a better life for you. I have something better than that for you. You don't have to leave what you are doing, but you need to begin to envision something bigger than that. Something higher than that. Because God wants to translate you into that new dimension, into that new horizon. Hallelujah. Open your eyes. One of the things the enemy is very adept at, I'm going to close here. One of the things the enemy is very adept at doing is creating frustration around our lives. Sometimes he uses us, sometimes he uses people who love us, sometimes people who care about us. But he just creates frustration around all our lives. Why does he do that? So that you will be buried where you are. I know I've got to close right here. But listen to this. Your vision for the future must be greater than your memory or recollection of your past. Your vision for the future must be greater than your memory or recollection of your past. And whenever you celebrate the blessings of the past, it must be for praise and thanksgiving and for all the Lord has done. But then immediately move beyond that and begin to look to your future
and what God will do in your future. If you want a new horizon and if you want to arrive there, you must lift up your eyes. Hallelujah. You must make sure continually you are not looking back. You are not looking down. You are not focused on the past. You are even where you are. You must not focus too much on where you are. Because if you focus too much on where you are, the energy you need to move forward, you are not going to have it. I got to close. I know. Abraham, that last verse I told you, I said I love that verse. The Bible says, Abraham, after the Lord told him all these things, he moved his tent and he moved it to Hebron. He moved it to Hebron. Hebron was the place of the vision that God had revealed a part of it to him. Hebron, for those of you who are good Bible students, I was planning to read it, but I got to close. You remember in Joshua 14 when Caleb said to Joshua, you know, you remember what the Lord said about us in Kadesh Barnea that was going to give us this land and all that. He said, give me this mountain. I'm ready for my land. He was 85 then. And Joshua gave him Hebron. And the Bible says, you can actually put that up, whatever that verse is. It's Joshua 14. Just put it up so everybody can see it. Thank you. If you can find it. Where he says, you know, he gave him, I think it used to be called Kiriath Arba or something. They used to call that place the city of giants. But yeah, well, if you can find that verse in Joshua, is that? Thank you. And Joshua blessed him. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Listen to me. When Abraham moved his tent, when the Lord told him, lift up your eyes, where did he move that tent to? Hebron. Many generations later, when Caleb, the head of the people of Judah, wanted to claim his own inheritance, he said, give me this mountain, give me Hebron. Hebron was where Abraham paid, he negotiated price and bought a grave for Sarah when she died. He buried Sarah there. When Abraham died, he told his people, bury me there in Hebron. Hebron represented the headquarters of the vision that God had given him. But this is the last point I want to make here. I want you to hear me with your spirit. No vision lives forever. No vision lives forever. Vision dissipates when intensity, clarity, and pursuit is not reproduced in the next generation. Vision will dissipate. Do you know who owns Hebron today? Listen to me. Do you know who owns Hebron today? It's the Muslims. It's the Muslims. It used to be called, this same Hebron, listen to this. This same Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, whatever that pronunciation is, because the giants owned it. But after Abraham took it over, they changed the name of it. And years, this is generations after Abraham, Caleb said, I want that place. Give me this mount. I want Hebron. He took it. Generations after Caleb did not hold on to that mountain, that city. And they lost it to the Muslims. No vision lives forever. The only vision that would ever live forever are the ones where intensity, clarity, and pursuit are reproduced in the next generation. That's why I told you it's not money. No matter how much money you bequeath to people coming after you, your children, your grandkids, great. Give them estates and all that. Wonderful. But I guarantee you right now, if they have money but they don't have vision, just like that, everything will be lost. All the years of labor, all the years of work, all the year, everything will be gone. I don't care how much it is, $1 billion. I think Kanye West said he just lost $1 billion. It doesn't take long. It does not take long. Just one wrong thing, it's over. So my brothers and sisters, as I close, I want you to protect the vision that God has given you. Give it everything you have. Give it everything. In your families, prioritize vision over money. Constantly have those conversations. Where are we going? Why are we here? How do we get to where we want to go? It's not money. Covenant has a lot to do with it. You know, speak to your children. Make sure they're in the covenant. I told you on Friday, for us, we were so poor, we were so broke when we started. There were only two things we could do. We committed, Pastor Tino and I committed with our children, because they had so many disadvantages when they were little. And we said, we want the best life for them. The best life possible. And we didn't want them dealing with the disadvantages we dealt with. We didn't have money. We didn't have... But we said we had two things. There were two things we had. We had the covenant. So we decided we will immerse them in that covenant. And I told you, and Edie corroborated what I said. We've had so many conversations around our dining table. Christine is here. She can confirm to you. Every major decision we've ever made, that involved them both, we've made it around the dining table. We've had conversations. Conversation is how? How does God see this? What does God want you to do about it? What's the will of God about it? So as they move into their, and there are decisions that I know that they've wanted to make in their lives, even in their adult lives. Now they're adults, they make their own decisions. But there are decisions they've wanted to make. And sometimes they were right there on the brink of making those decisions. And they would just mention to us, oh, we're about to do this. And we'll say, so you are sure you've checked everything out, right? And say, yeah. Well, I'm just feeling so strong about it. But you've checked it. Well, I haven't fully checked everything. Okay, I'll take some time. And they come back and say, you know what? That's not what I don't think that's what God wants us to do. Immerse them. This is very important. Start very early. Start early with your children. It's the first thing we did. Immerse them in the covenant. But the second thing, give them, we said, we vowed. We will do everything within our ability and beyond to get them the best education possible. And like I told you on Friday, Christine graduated. Praise God, she graduated from Princeton. She doesn't have debt from Princeton. She has from medical school, which the Lord will help you pay. ED is graduating from Northwestern next summer. He doesn't have debt. We took the debt away from him. We took the debt away from him and gave it to the Lord. But what's that vision? When I think about it, I think about years in the future, and I'm thinking what my grandchildren will be like. And I don't want them limited because I was limited. It's vision. When I think about abundant life, I'm thinking about what we're going to become. Hallelujah. I'm not thinking about where we have been, what we have dealt with. No, I'm thinking about where we're going, what we want to become. I challenge you to prioritize vision. Prioritize your covenant with God. And God will establish you and fulfill his word in your life. Could you stand to your feet, everyone, please? What is our vision here at Abundant Life from the very beginning? There was a time we recited it every Sunday. What's our vision here at Abundant Life? Our God-given vision is to be a word-based, international ministry aimed at imparting the abundant life of Christ into every area of people's lives while discipling them through the accurate teaching and proclamation of God's word. We're at an inflection point in this vision. By the grace of God, we have been able to get started. We've not had a perfect journey. Nobody ever will. Sometimes we've achieved great things and we've celebrated them. Sometimes we've endured great challenges and had to lean on the shepherd of our souls to carry us through. But today, as we celebrate 20 years at Abundant Life, we are truly at an inflection point on our journey. God's vision can never be accomplished by one man or one woman alone. God calls people, and people work together. Abundant Life, I trust God that we continue to have life. I trust God that I personally continue to enjoy the life of God. But the greatest passion of my life and what I've invested the bulk of my energy into over the last 20 years has been to try to create a blueprint for the future. I do not believe in one-man ministries. I don't believe in bedroom ministries. God calls people to work together, to pursue his purpose for his kingdom. That intensity that we have had has served us very well, because that's one of the reasons why we're still here today. But as I close this service, I want you to hear my heart wherever you are. You might be here in this room, you might be online somewhere in the world. I believe that God is calling you to take your own place where the vision that he gave is concerned. What is your part? I want to challenge you to get more intensity about it. I want to challenge you to be willing to invest more of your passion in it. Don't relate with it as, oh, that's their church, that's their ministry, that's their vision. I just do whenever I show up, whenever I can, I do the little like. No, that's not good enough. If I've achieved anything on this journey, my greatest achievement can only be that I have challenged you and motivated you to serve God like I have, to be committed to him like I have been. And I tell you on the authority of the word of God, I have loved the Lord. I have given him my heart. I have given him my everything. I don't serve God for selfish reasons, so that for what I can get out of it. No. I serve him because I love him. if I've achieved anything, then you should be motivated to love him too, much more than you ever have. As I close, I ask you to look in your heart. What more can you do in the service of God's vision here at Abundant Life? How can you help us? In what ways can you enhance what God wants to do? Maybe locally, maybe nationally, maybe globally. This is a clarion call. I'm asking you for your help. I'm not asking you for any material thing. I'm asking for the intensity of your heart to be added to this vision. Your belief, your trust, your willingness to serve, to walk, to help. And if that is something that sounds good to your ears today, and it bears witness with your spirit, that is something you would like to do, then, wherever you are, make this commitment with me in prayer. Let's pray over Abundant Life. Let's pray over the future of Abundant Life. Let's pray over the next 20 years and everything that the Lord has promised to do. It's all set. He's faithful. He just needs people. He needs his people to buy into it. So, stand with us. Pray with us. Intensify with us. Let's go for it together. Let's not look back. Let's not look down. Let's look forward. Let's look up. We serve a God of impossibilities. Let's believe in that God of impossibilities. Let's be willing to lay our all on the altar. This is not a cultural vision. It's not a vision aimed at serving some people, just a few people somewhere in one part of the world. No. This is a global vision. Maybe there are things in your heart that you wish this vision was doing, but we're not currently doing. But that's why God sent you. Maybe you can help us there. Did you see that skit that they put up? That's vision. Somebody just thought about that and worked with a team of people. Vision, with all of us working together, will help us arrive at our new horizon. Father, I give you praise for this service and this weekend. Thank you for everything you have done for us. We're truly thankful to you. There's so much grace and so much outpouring of your anointing upon Abundant Life. We can sense that. We can feel it. We can see it. We can sense it. We can feel it. Lord, I pray for your empowerment over the lives of your people. Adults, young people, children, youth, those that are here local to Ohio, to Cleveland, to Akron, and those that are way beyond here, those that are partnering with us all across this country, those that believe in this vision, those that continually help us, I ask for your empowerment for them. I pray, Father, put the resources in their lives. Everything their hearts desire for their own families, Lord, grant it unto them. Make a way where there is no way. Those that you are calling, like you called me in 1992. I struggled and I did not know how to do it. It was contrary to everything I had planned before then. But when all was said and done, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll go. Help them, all of them, to be able to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. No matter how difficult it seems, no matter how hard it seems, no matter the challenge it brings to their lives, to their families, help them to say, yes, Lord, I'll go. And I'll not look at the circumstances. And I'll not look at the difficulties. I'll just go and do your will. Father, I give you praise. I speak the blessing of heaven upon your people today. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them beyond their heart imagination. Bless them beyond their heart desires. Everything they long for, bless them. Bless them. Everything they long for, bless them. And establish your work in abundant life. I thank you, Father, for those that have served all through this weekend, those that planned this convention and put it together. Bless them. Those that have come to celebrate with us, rejoice with us, bless them. Those that are far, far away, but who constantly send their support, their help, their encouraging words, their assurances. We're here. We're still here. We're here with you. You don't see us in person, but we're here with you. You are not alone. We're here with you. Remember them, Lord. Remember them. Bless them and their families. Those that are working for us in distant nations, Lord, remember them. They have their own needs. Remember them. Bless them. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Receive it to yourself. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you bless the name of the Lord, please? Bless the name of the Lord. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. He's so worthy. Hallelujah. He's so worthy. Hallelujah.